Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to the world's smartest podcast network.
When I go to Sacramento, I will pump up Sacramento.
Some say the news is fake. Others say it's real. These two don't have the time to check. Instead, Turner Sparks and Michael Ira Kaplan turn to comics stationed around the globe to be their eyewitness reporters so that you can know what's really going on. This is Lost in America.
All right, everybody, welcome to Lost in America, episode 271. My name's Turner Sparks.
I am Mike Kaplan of Kaplan America fame.
Oh, you can find me at Turner Sparks on Instagram. You can find Kaplan, just like you just said, at Cap in America on all social media platforms. You can also find me in New York City all summer doing stand up, working on my new hour of comedy. And July 30th is my next date. I will be out of town. The next date I'll be out of town. I'll be in Philly on July 30th. Kaplan, you're home.
Look at that. Maybe I'll be there. Maybe we'll
Kaplan
bring some...
will. You hear that? Kaplan will be there for free. He's not getting paid. He'll pay to sit in the audience.
I might charge the stage at one point and just grab a microphone and start yelling. No, it'll be a good time. Come out
to Philly. We got to get your sister for sure. She always comes when they're Philly shows. So Allentown's not too far away. I'll be in Philly July 30th. Go to turnersparks.com to get all tickets. Kaplan. Also, here's the thing. A lot of shows, every once in a while, we take a week off of doing the show, right? We go, hey, we've had enough.
We need to replenish.
It's enough of the world every once in a while, you know?
Sometimes there's nothing going on. I read the whole paper, front to back. I don't see one story worth talking about.
We don't see anything. So we say, let's take the week off. This time, there was so much not going on. We took 2 weeks off.
Yeah. We had so much not going on. I scheduled a surgery and I had a doctor go into my heart and give me
Kaplan had heart surgery in the last 2 weeks.
That was the biggest thing going on in the world.
And look how good his doctor is. He's already back 100% after heart surgery.
Yeah. Dr. Shaw, shout out. I'm looking good. So let's do it. And if that means for everyone watching at home, if I get go have a heart attack in the middle of this episode,
yeah,
I'll get like a clamp. Like I'll get a shock. I'll come back to life. You watch me come back to life.
Well, you didn't
on
explain.
Air.
You have like a pacemaker, kind of a shock.
I have a defibrillator
shock thing put into your heart. Defibrillator.
Yeah. So like literally, if I go out in the middle of the episode, boom, clamp, shock back to life. The show won't miss a beat. So
yeah. That's
what I did it for you guys.
He doesn't need those doctors to come in and shock him. His heart will do it to itself.
It does itself. I'll get a little jolt. I'll probably have a little, my energy level will probably change a little during the episode. You might notice that.
Dr. Shaw said it's like drinking a cup of coffee.
He said it's like getting kicked in the back by a horse.
You just jump back into life.
Just jump back.
So you're never going to die. That's the good news. And now Cap, we're talking about Sri Lanka today. And we have Melinda Pereira, comedian from Sri Lanka, originally based in Dublin, coming on in just a minute. Sri Lanka has defaulted on their loans to the world, I guess.
World.
They took loans from
all
the world.
All their debtors, yes.
And they've defaulted, and they say, no, we're not paying those back.
They're like our students.
I don't know if this has ever happened. I read about it. It's the first time it's happened for an Asian country in like 20 or 30 years. It's so far in the past that I don't know what that means and what happens next. So we're going to get into all that. We're going to get those questions answered in just a minute. But Cap, before that, the way we pay for your heart surgery, the way we pay for Dr. Shaw, he's not cheap.
No,
he runs a buck or two.
He's one of the best in the city.
The way we get a defibrillator thrown into your heart is by Patreon. Yeah. People subscribe to our Patreon shit.
You own a piece of this defibrillator.
For $5 a month, you own a piece of Kaplan's heart, literally. And that's it. $5 a month. Patreon.com/LostInAmerica. Not only do you get a piece of Kaplan's heart, not only are you paying Dr. Shaw's bills, but also you get us, Cap and I, doing a full throttle comedy podcast, 30 minutes every episode, three times a week, straight to you. For $5 a month, you get just me and Cap doing straight comedy three times a week. And that's pretty good. For $10 a month, you get a number one in Armenia t-shirt. Kaplan's wearing it right now for everyone watching us on YouTube. And subscribe on YouTube. We went to number one in Armenia. And for $10 a month, we celebrated it with a t-shirt and a mug the Cap's holding up. For $10 a month, you get that. For $20 a month, you get your own advertisement on this show. And that just reminded me, Cap, we have an ad coming up from Dennis Owens at the break.
The great D.O.
The great Dennis Owens. So I'm going to have to find up that ad read. We're going to crank that out at the 30-minute mark halfway through this show. You get that once a month, your own ad for $20 a month. Don't tell our sponsors because they pay way more. Kaplan, go ahead.
Yeah, and you get to find out. Last week, we talked about how you celebrated Memorial Day on the wrong day last week.
I did. We celebrated it a week early on accident.
So this week we'll talk about how you did, what your real Memorial Day plans were. We'll find out. And yeah, we went deeper, much deeper into my heart surgery.
Forget
on that
Memorial
episode.
Day, Kaplan. I went to the Friars Club roast. Club tribute to Tracy Morgan. Because Tracy Morgan's still
alive. Rubbing elbows with Anthony Weiner. I saw on Instagram.
I was hanging out with Anthony Weiner, with a few of the Knicks, Allen Houston, Billy Obi DiBlasio. Toppin. Yeah. Paul Schaefer from the Letterman show. Mm. I was hanging out with Rudy Giuliani, America's mayor.
You and Rudy, we're stopping the steal together.
Eric Adams was there. Bill de Blasio was there.
So you're going to tell all the stories on the Patreon show.
JB Smoove from Curb Your Enthusiasm. I was hanging out with him for a little
My
while.
My sister was most excited about that. That's what
I was
want.
Hanging out with CeeLo.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yes. Amazing.
It was great. Yeah. So forget what I did on Memorial Day. We're going to be talking all about that now, Cap. Let's get to today's episode. So Sri Lanka's defaulted on their loans to the world. What do you know about this?
I mean, when I first saw this story, I thought, you know, people were I see there was protests. Students have been protesting for days. And I thought, you know, cut the government some slack. Inflation's bad, but inflation's bad everywhere in the world right now. Everyone's having trouble. But then I started to read a little bit and I saw that, oh, they might have a point because they're paying this government built a cricket stadium, like a state-of-the-art cricket stadium that holds more people than this city even has. You know, it holds like 35,000 people in a town of 20,000. They just were spending money like crazy, apparently, last decade. And now the chickens come home to roost or whatever. How's the saying go? Is that the saying?
I think that's it.
Because now, I mean, inflation today I saw was at it's at 39%. It's like 57% for food. I saw that they're really having it's a horrible situation where they can't get medicine.
And it's all because they built a cricket stadium.
That's just one example that I remember. You always remember like one thing when you read a whole dense article about the entire economic situation and what stands out in my.
You're telling
brain.
People at cocktail parties in Manhattan.
they built a giant. They spent too
Can
much.
Can you
money
believe
the
they built a cricket stadium and then you sip your martini?
Yeah, go beat up those cricket fans. It's all their fault. But
all right, let me jump in here, Cap. Yeah. What happened, from what I understand, is China. And Japan, but mostly China, loaned Sri Lanka a bunch of money about 10 years ago to the family. There's this family that runs Sri Lanka. And they've run them. The Ras.
I'm not sure how to pronounce it, but well, first question.
The Rajapaksa family. I'm going to go with the Rajapaksa family.
Shout out.
They run Sri Lanka. You can't get anything done without. They know what's up in every corner.
They've been in government for a long time.
And China says, hey, here's some money. And here's the deal. You don't have to tell us what you do with it. Do whatever you want with
just
it.
Just have fun. It's like the people who lend money to, you know, it's not like a bank. It's like you don't have to give them a presentation or anything. You just do whatever you want.
It's like the guys on Staten Island who will loan you some money.
Have fun.
You want to build a new pizza place? Yeah, get this done. And then they bombed
the place of your dreams. Go for it.
Anyway, they loaned them money and they said, do whatever you want with it. And the Rajapaksa family said, we're building, as you said, a cricket stadium, an airport, all this stuff that they had no ability to pay back. Now they've run out of money. Mm-hmm. And now here we are. Now let's bring in our guests to figure out if any of that is correct. Melinda Pereira, comedian from Sri Lanka, now based in Dublin. Welcome to the show, man. How you doing? Oh, and also everybody, follow him on at melinda.pereira, P-E-R-E-R-A, on Instagram, Melinda Pereira Comedy on Facebook. Welcome to the show, dude. How you doing?
Hey, how's it going, Turner?
Good.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining.
Oh, this is Kaplan, by the way.
I forgot to introduce myself. Sorry.
Formal introduction. How you doing? Did we get any of that right?
You got the name wrong.
Okay. What's the name?
It's Raja Paksha.
Raja Paksha.
Yeah. There you go, Kaplan. You got it right, like straight up.
Well, he got it right after you said it.
I did. I'm good at repeating things. I can't read.
I got a parrot that can do that. Raja Paksha?
Raja Paksha.
Yeah, see?
Raja Paksha.
Yeah, Raja Paksha.
Okay, the Raja Paksha family.
Exactly.
And they're like the Vanderbilts over there or something. Yeah. They're pretty big time.
So what exactly happened was, I don't know if you guys knew about the civil war we were having for 30 years.
Did not.
I read a little, but not. I skimmed over that.
No, our media is terrible.
It's been wild. So let's not get deep into the war. But what happened was, Mahinda Rajapaksa was the president when the Sri Lankan government finally managed to end the war. So he became a hero. A national hero, as he should in that time period. You know, like, it was a war that was going on for 30 years. So I was born.
A civil war.
Yeah. Long story short, there was a rebel group, separatist group, classified as terrorists. So they wanted to separate North side for themselves. So anyway, this war was going on for 30 years. So I'm 35. You can imagine 23 years of my life has been spent during the war. Wow. So that's how long the war was. So it was around 30 years. And then finally, 2009, the war ended. And and then he became a war. He became a national hero. Then what happened was, then he went completely off the rails, you know. Now he got this god complexion afterwards, you know, like,
that's what happens.
Exactly. So it was all like, you know, Sri Lanka was not doing economically very well, especially when the war is going on. But now, instead of like rebuilding the country economically, he started just like borrowing money from countries. Especially China, and as Kaplan mentioned earlier, I was listening. He built a cricket stadium, he built a port, he built an airport, he built a convention center in two cities. He built a lotus tower in Colombo to make it South Asia's tallest tower. So all these things that was built had his name on it. And for example, so the lotus tower that he was built. Spending so much money has not been used since the day it was built. It was built for like transmissions and stuff. Nothing is going on. The airport that he built, I don't think more than 5 planes have ever visited that airport. So you can imagine, like, all these investments have gone for nothing. The cricket stadium, elephants come to that cricket stadium because it's in the middle of, like, you get me?
It's in a jungle, or it's in like the middle of nowhere.
He didn't teach elephants to play cricket. Is not That'd be cool.
He built the stadium, but there's no cricket team.
No. So it's a national cricket stadium. So international games happens. But I can't remember what's the last time it happened. Right.
It's not a lot of international games.
It's like what countries might do when they get the Olympics.
Yeah.
Except for you guys never got the Olympics.
Exactly.
We're trying. We're working on that.
I remember when I was still in high school, like, we had our South Asian games happening. Like, that was one of the big events. But then we everything was done in Colombo, you know. That's the thing. So Colombo is the capital. He was taking everything south where nothing is literally happening. And those were like, you know, what's the word? Like, they use like investments that are like, you know, that was for nothing. So you invested money on.
I don't know if there's what the word is, but
a word for it. Yeah.
We should say, is that, and then go back to your story. This is great. But I just want to tell everybody, because Cap, did you know where Sri Lanka was before getting into this?
Of
Of course I knew where Sri Lanka was. I might have had to look at my son's globe here. And,
in my head, it was always off the coast. I knew it was off the coast of somewhere, but I thought it was off the coast of Africa. Turns out it's off the southeast coast of India.
Yeah, it's right
and
here.
It's an island. And I knew it was an island, but I didn't know where. So it's an island.
Yeah, I didn't know it was an island. I didn't realize that, actually.
Just to give some geography, it's an island off the southeast coast of India. And the western part of the island is where Colombo is, the capital where you're from. And then the southeastern part of the island is Hambantota, which is where the Ratapashka family is from. And it's kind of like the middle of nowhere. And that's where they built all these things, right? Mm. Where they built all these stadiums.
They rewarded
and
their home area.
And the airport.
I wouldn't call it rewarding, like, because it literally did nothing for the, like, for the people who are around there. It didn't bring them business. It didn't, like, create opportunities. And most of the people who were employed for those jobs around, like, supporters and, like, you know, Rajapaksa supporters, like, any political, if you are politically involved and supporting the family, you get a job, that kind of way, you know, like, it didn't really create any impact on the society or the area that those were built. I mean, obviously, you would expect, like, okay, we're going to build an international airport. We're going to build an international cricket stadium. This might create new jobs. This might create new opportunities. Foreigners are going to walk in. Like, so we're going to have new things. None of that happened.
Is it because the location? Because it's out in the middle of nowhere?
100%. It's the location.
Yeah. A giant tower in the middle of nowhere is not...
Yeah. So the thing is, like, for example, like, you know, we live in a world where everyone is up for profit. So the flights have to be redirected to another airport is a lot of money for the, so no flight company.
The airlines were like, we're not flying there. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. Why would we go to the other? We want to go to Colombo. We want to be
like our passengers don't want to go to the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
And what was the family's thinking by doing this? Did they think this was going to bring all industry to their hometown or like that, what's
the thing is, from what I understand, is that's how they try to portray it, I would say.
Yeah.
But now you have to be, like, you know, strategical when you do these things. Like, Sri Lanka is a very small country, man. Like, from Colombo to all the way down south, if you use the motorway, you'd be down south within 1.5 hours, 2 hours tops. Oh, that's how small Sri Lanka is. If you take the long route, the coastal route, you can still be down south in 4.5 hours.
Right. Okay. So we're dealing with a small country here. So
if you stand right in the middle of Sri Lanka, you can go 3 to 4 hours to each coast.
No matter that's what, the furthest you can ever be from a coast is 3 to 4 hours.
Like the total. So if you go from top to bottom, you can do that in 12 to 13 hours.
Wow. Okay. So it's a small country.
Yeah, it's a very small country, you know, like, so you don't need 2 international airports.
Yes.
I mean, I'm not saying it's...
Wait.
Good point.
So...
And nobody, well, at the time, did anybody say this is a terrible idea? There was just nobody to speak up.
So you see, like, that's the thing about Sri Lankan politics, man. Everybody's there to gain something. So you know, like, the opposition has been always, like, not very powerful because, like, you need to understand, like, from the people's point of view, we were crushed in a war. You know, we were so suppressed by war. Like, you know, I remember times, like, you know, so my parents, they would not take, not just my parents, like, pretty much everyone's parents during that time, they will not take the same bus together in case there is a bombing. Right. So they will take 2 buses. So at least one person would survive. That's the mentality we lived in during those days, you know. So when you come out of that place, you will respect that person who got you out of there, you know. So you need to understand, like, anything the Rajapakshas would say, people would be like, yes, do it. Like, if you could stop the war, you can do anything. That's the kind of the idea they were having, you know. Like, if you can stop a war that no leader managed to stop for 30 years, you can do anything. So, and then like immense amount of power was given to him. Like he, because we have the, like the executive presidency. So, you know, he changed. So all this time he, like, you can only be president twice, the same as in America. Like you can only be a president, like you can only get elected as president twice. But when he got elected as the president the second time, he changed this. So now in Sri Lanka, anybody can be president any amount of time. You know, like, so it was a plan that to stay in power, like, and keep the family in power, like, for example. And then what happened was everybody in the government body was related to him or part of his immediate family. Like his son was the sports minister. His brother was like the financial minister. So everything that is like, so finance, money, security, all these, like the main bodies of the government were governed by the Rajapakshas. I was just gonna elaborate like more, but I think I said enough, like, you know, so you get the picture. So yes. Everything, so you can't do anything because every main part of the Sri Lankan government is a Rajapaksha.
And there's no way to break through there, but there are elections, right?
And they have a parliament, but he could, but the parliament doesn't have a lot of power, I guess.
So go ahead with the democratic. Are they democratically elected?
Yes, it's like Sri Lanka has all the titles, man. Like the full name of Sri Lanka is Socialist Democratic Republic of Sri Lanka.
I know. Check all the bases.
It all has everything for the name. You know, it's there. It's there. We all know it. But now the thing is, especially now, this is not only a problem in Sri Lanka. This is a problem in all of the third world countries. You know, when you get into power, democracy is just a beautiful word to have.
Just a word. Like,
yeah, it's just a word. Everything is manipulated. Anything can be manipulated. Anybody can be bought for money. Sri Lanka, the minimum salary in Sri Lanka is less than $100, man. So
$100 a month?
Yeah.
Wow.
So you can imagine anybody would do anything for money. Getting a few votes in the parliament for a bill that you need to pass, that's not a hard thing. That's not a hard thing.
$200. And so the family was spending all this money recklessly on things that don't, like, building a cricket stadium is like such like a rich guy who has way too much money move. Like, it's not even something that's going to generate. It probably won't generate money. But and then it's, from what I read, it was compounded. So that's, they blew all the money that way. But then is tourism, either the Russian and Ukrainian tourism is a big part of the industry there.
Yep.
And so, well, also, so the pandemics, I would imagine, stopped tourism.
Yes.
And then the war between Russia and Ukraine, I can't imagine there's a lot of Russians, Ukrainians coming on vacation.
There were still a few, but now the problem is now. So Sri Lanka is basically like, tourism is one of our main incomes, especially for foreign reserves, you know, like, so the more tourists come, the more dollars we get.
And is it beaches and stuff? Is that?
Yeah. Like you guys should definitely visit Sri Lanka, man. If you guys love like golden sandy beaches, that's the place to go, you know. You would love it, man. People are so lovely people. Like we are just politically, can I curse in this podcast? We are politically fucked. That's the that's the easiest way I could say, you know. Like people are just, the thing is, we are such a small nation, and like being through a lot, even the smallest lies just gives us so much hope, you know, like, oh my God, like people can, you can win votes by just like, you know, rebuilding a road.
Yeah.
2 days before the election. There's like, oh, he just put some concrete on there. Like, he's going to be a good politician for us. That's how people, like you will not see these politicians for the rest of the term until the next election. So that's how everything is run. Like,
you know, right before the election.
All the roads get built 2 days before the election.
Exactly. Those trains run on time right before the election.
Because every politician lives off, like, obviously, like, you know, when you're a government, like you're a government worker, like, especially politicians, their salary is not like, they have a lot of privileges. However, like their salaries, so everyone is living off commissions. So any project that comes, it's the commission they first look into. Like how much, like, so if I sign this tender, how much money am I getting?
Yes.
You get me? One example is one of the recyclers in Canada is actually a Sri Lankan. He has a big recycling plant in Canada. Like he's one of the major players in that game in Canada. So once he suggested, so there was an incident in Colombo. There is a place, this is not directly in Colombo, so it's a little greater Colombo. There was a place where all the garbage gets dumped. So this is just give you an idea how politics work in Sri Lanka, right? So this place is so filled with garbage. It had an earthslide, a garbage earthslide, and it killed 8 people. It went all the way to the village.
And this is Canadian garbage?
No. This is in Sri Lanka.
This happened in Sri Lanka.
Sri Lanka. Yeah. So the Canadian, the guy in Canada who's a Sri Lankan, he was born in Sri Lanka, moved to Canada, started a business. Can't remember the exact story, the backstory. However, he's Sri Lankan. So he proposed, like, he will build a recycle plant in this place. So you can recycle the garbage rather than holding it in one place and making the whole place stink.
Yeah.
The minister who was in charge at that time asked for 51% of shares.
Of his business?
Just signing the document to give the approval.
Yeah.
To have the local business of the recycling?
Yeah.
And is that public info? Like, do they try to hide that or they don't care? The minister doesn't care.
They don't really care. You know?
Oh, my God.
Because the problem is, who's going to do anything?
Yeah.
So they didn't fix the problem, basically.
No, of course, like if I'm bringing a plant, why would I give somebody 51% of shares just to put a signature?
Yeah, that means he has like the vote, like the
he's
ruling
in charge.
He's in charge.
He's in charge of my company now.
So I'm investing. I'm putting everything, all my money into this. Like it might not even be profitable. And yet I'm going to give you 51% of all the things that go.
Jesus. That's like a greedy shakedown. It's one thing to ask for like a little bit. Give me 10%.
Like 10%.
Throw me some money. Yeah. 51 is just getting greedy.
Yeah. So the nickname for the brother of Mahinda Rajapaksa, Basil Rajapaksa, like the nickname among Sri Lankans is 20%.
that's what he needs.
That like anything, if he gets 20%.
Yeah.
That's do it. Jeez. So what? So now, and I want to get into the China stuff a little later, but now let's talk about what's it like actually on the ground. So as Cap was saying earlier, people have run out. I think he's mentioned like it's hard to get medicines now. People like money's
gone. Life-threatening medicines.
The country doesn't have any money. They literally have just defaulted, and they went to the International Monetary Fund, the IMF, and I think they've asked for money basically to get bailed out. What it means. So you have family there. From what we read, it's hard to get medicine. It's hard to get food. People are saying they're only eating meat like once a week now. What is it like with your friends and family?
So it's no different. Like to be honest, like so my mom lives in Colombo, you know, like she has a job, she works. And it's never the same. But now the problem is, as I mentioned, there are people who makes a minimum wage. And these are the people who are suffering the most. When it comes to the capital, like, you know, the capital gets everything first and then gets distributed to the rest of the area.
Okay, so they're doing
No, we are not doing all right. It's never the same. So you won't, like, that. So it all started, like, you know, it didn't fall like this. It was all bad decision after bad decision. So Sri Lanka is mainly, we are farming lands, you know? So what the first thing this president, like, so he's also a brother of Mahinda Rajapaksa, you know, Gotabaya. When he came, he wanted to go full organic. And he banned fertilizer.
I forgot to mention that. I read that. Yes.
So all our lands are used to the non-organic fertilizer. You know, there is a process. You need to talk to the experts, like how a land that is used to a certain type of fertilizer, now we want to use only organic ones. Great. Good initiation. Bad way of doing it.
Yes.
So he immediately said after this day, no more non-organic fertilizer. So it has to be only organic fertilizer. Farms were crushed, man. Like they were fucked. We couldn't produce food. So because obviously the soil is not used to it, you know? Yes. And then yet, where is the money to get organic fertilizer? How are you going to bring this? How are you going to distribute it? Farmers are not having fertilizer because our three main exports are tea, coconut, and rubber. You need to grow these things. And then comes the rice, the crops, the other crops and all that. So that's where everything started. And then the foreign, like, so by end of April, I think the debt in Sri Lanka was like $35 billion.
Yeah.
Like $35 billion is enough to make Sri Lanka Singapore, man.
Like, yeah. Right. I mean, I've read now money. It's 51 billion is the latest number.
So, and what percentage of the GDP is that? It's also that's a huge percent because our debt's really high, but we have, you know, it's America. So we just can make more money.
And so so not only are tourists not coming to the country anymore, not only have they wasted all this money on cricket stadiums and ports and stuff, but then they essentially killed the farming industry.
Yeah, exactly. So that's what happened.
What was the reason? What was his like, did he have like, did he watch a movie on organic farming and get inspired?
He watched a Netflix documentary.
Super liberal.
Now that's the thing. Like I am up for it. It was a bad way of doing the process. Like you need to get the experts in about farming, like learn how the soil works. Because like we were taught in school that, you know, like you need to keep doing this to make sure that, like, you know, so you choose different. And I didn't learn agriculture, but like,
yeah,
general knowledge.
They teach you the basics in elementary school.
Yeah.
Of how so photosynthesis works.
Yeah. So, and then we ran out because now the next thing was fuel. So we need dollars to buy fuel.
Yeah.
And we don't have dollars to buy fuel. So, no shipments coming in with fuel. So there were no fuel tanks coming in. And then when fuel is not there, everything. So our power plant that creates. So we don't have electricity from 7 to 12 hours a day.
Oh my gosh.
Because the plants are not running because there is no fuel. And when there is no electricity, there's no production going on in anywhere else. So everything is a chain effect, you know. But when there is no electricity, there's a lot of outsourced IT companies happening in Sri Lanka. So when you don't have 12 hours of electricity, these guys can't do their work. They can't program. You need your laptop or computer to be running up and running when you need to work.
Yeah.
To make sure that your products get delivered on time. So that way, a lot of projects stops coming in. And when all this money stops coming in, we don't have money to buy fuel, we don't have money to buy medicine. So there has been incidents. I think 6 people have died standing in the fuel queues.
Jeez.
So that's how long you might have to. So there was a clipped discussion. It was on the internet. I can't say this is real or not, but this might give you an idea. So one of the friends dropped a guy at the airport who was going to Melbourne. So he wrote him back, the guy who dropped him at the airport, "I just landed in Melbourne. Mind you, it's a 15 hours flight. I just landed in the airport in Melbourne. Thank you very much. How's it going?" And then the guy who dropped him at the airport wrote, "I'm still in the petrol queue."
Oh my gosh.
So he dropped him and then he went to the petrol queue after he dropped him. And then he
still, time it took to get to Australia, he was still waiting.
Still in the queue. So that's a basic idea to give you how long you might have to wait in a queue. There parents are very scared because there are so much medicine that, like, you know, that you need to, like, they're scared their kids will get sick because the medicine that the doctors would prescribe cannot be found at pharmacies. And sometimes, like, you know, like those medicine is expensive as well. So like, you know, for example, like sometimes babies would throw up the medicine when you give it to them.
Yeah.
Parents are like, please don't throw up because we can't find it again.
Jeez. And what about your, like, so what does your mom do?
So my mom works in the tea industry.
Oh, okay.
So she works for tea brokers, you know. So this was also another thing. So we were one of the main players in the tea game, you know, since the day of the queen, you know.
Oh, yeah. Tea exporters.
Yeah, we like Ceylon tea is one of the top teas in the world.
What's the name of the tea company?
No, Ceylon tea is the brand. Like Ceylon was the old name of Sri Lanka.
Oh,
so
okay.
That like so yeah. Like, for example, if I'm buying tea somewhere, I would always see if the logo Ceylon tea is there, because I know any other tea is shit.
Any other tea is shit. You hear that?
There you go.
Lonkin tea.
Another way to get free advertising on this show is to be our guest. That's a good way.
Yes. We don't have Dennis Owens doesn't have a tea company today, does he? Because that could be a problem.
It's not a company. It's Lipton. Not a company. Okay. It's the brand.
Yeah, yeah.
So any tea that comes from Sri Lanka is called Ceylon tea. Okay. So it's not a company name. So
it's like champagne.
If you see the name Ceylon tea with a lion with our national emblem on it, that means it came from Sri Lanka.
Got it.
That's a tea that you can trust.
Oh, the tea you can trust. Any other tea is shit.
Any other tea is shit. The new motto.
But now there's no tea because they have to organically farm it.
Yeah. Now we are like, we exported tea. Now we are importing tea.
Oh, disaster.
From Pakistan.
You mean, that's probably shit.
Pakistan,
it's not our tea, man. It's not our tea. That's all I'm saying.
So this affects because your family as well, I guess. Your mom's probably affected, but she can't.
Yeah, because you can't, like, you obviously when the farming lands were crushed, like you can't produce the same amount of product, like same amount. So the amount is, because how tea works is when we drink tea in Sri Lanka, we get the shittiest tea, to be honest, because the all the best grades are all exported.
Yeah.
Because that's
the English, those English people, they take all your good tea.
Exactly. And then we usually say we get the dust. That's what we get. You know, like,
you should give the dust to Americans. We don't know the difference.
That's true. That's a good point.
We put it under ice. So we really don't know what we're doing with tea. So.
You're joking, right?
No, we do. We put it on ice. Yeah, we don't know iced tea.
Oh, right. Iced tea. I'm like, oh my God. Like,
yeah, I know it's horrible. I know people don't like.
I like myself some iced tea sometimes as well. So that's the basic idea, man. And you know, China kept pumping money to Sri Lanka, like a lot, you know. And now the problem with China pumping money into Sri Lanka is, we're going to talk about that later. You said
we'll get to that in just a second. Yeah. I think we should take our ad break right here. So in a minute, we're going to figure out, when we come back, we'll figure out how Sri Lanka gets out of this mess. How a country gets out of debt as quickly as possible. Mm-hmm. But before that, Kaplan,
yes,
we are part of the World's Smartest Podcast Network. That is me. And you here at Lost in America, that is Dr. Andrea Jones-Roy at the Majoring in Everything podcast. And that is Professor Andrew Heaton at the Political Orphanage. He's not a real professor, but, you know, he looks like he is.
He's got a fake diploma. He's like Dr. Taylor Swift.
Taylor Swift. Yes. She just got her doctorate from NYU for free. Melinda, they just gave Taylor Swift. In America, if you're famous enough, a university will just give you a doctorate
degree.
See,
they're $400,000 at NYU for 4 years.
She is now Dr. Taylor Swift. Anyway, back to the point. We're part of the World's Smartest Podcast Network. Find us at worldsmartestpodcastnetwork.com. Subscribe to all of our shows. Kaplan, now we have an ad from the great Dennis Owens. He is over 20, he subscribes to our Patreon channel for over $20 a month.
A hero.
Just like, if you do that, you will get an ad just like him. And as we say on the ad, we will say whatever you want us to say, right, Cap?
Whatever you want to say. We'll threaten people, we'll defame people, we'll slander people, whatever you want.
We'll defame your neighbors if you don't like them. Literally, you write it, we will read it. So here's what Dennis Owens says for this month. He says, I would like a reminder. This isn't really an ad. It's more of like a public service announcement.
Okay. PSA. We do PSAs.
I would like to remind all the listeners that happy, and then he says fill in the blank, is not the correct way to reference all holidays. I suggest the following speech codes for all future holidays. This guy's now like a speech, I don't know.
Police. Yeah.
Speech police. He says, it's not have a happy Christmas. It's have a merry Christmas. Mm. Now, in England, they say have a... Melinda, what are they in Ireland? Do they say happy Christmas or Merry Christmas?
Merry Christmas.
Oh, they do? In England, they say happy Christmas. Because I remember I had this John Lennon record where he says, happy Christmas, Yoko. And she says, happy Christmas, John.
Maybe that's changed since John Lennon's day. They updated it.
Have a Merry Christmas.
So, like happy or merry, like it's either works.
Well, not for Dennis O.
Dennis O's a stickler. The war on Christmas begins with happy.
Have a Merry Christmas. It says have a respectful Memorial Day. You cannot say have a happy Memorial
Day.
Oh,
no. I should have read this last week. I definitely said happy Memorial Day to some people yesterday.
He said you say have a disrespectful Columbus Day.
Oh, because it's canceled.
Christopher Columbus canceled. You can't say have a happy Columbus Day. What does that mean? Happy. What
you say have a disrespectful Columbus Day to an Italian, old Italian man.
He slaughtered the Native Americans.
I'm sorry.
Have a consensual Valentine's Day.
That's a good point.
Yeah. Have a non-culturally appropriative Halloween.
Or just say happy birthday, Kaplan, for Halloween. But yeah.
Can't say have a happy Halloween. Anyway, right. Happy American New Year, he says. That's a good point. Because mm-hmm. there's Chinese New Year. There's all kinds of New Year's. Have a cooperative Labor Day. Never forget National Grandparents Day. Apparently celebrated on 9/11. Have a colorful... Have a colorful Diwali. What's Diwali?
It's a Hindu festival.
Oh, he's covering all the bases because they do colors, right? There's like throw colors, colored something.
Yeah, he's done his research. Done
have a gluttonous Thanksgiving.
Oh, that's kind of if you're gluten free. I don't know.
Delaware Day. Apparently, we have to celebrate Delaware. A day that will live in infamy. 12/7. I don't know what happened on Delaware Day.
Pearl Harbor Day is also.
Have a second most popular festival of lights. Hanukkah.
Is that he's ripping Hanukkah? What is that?
I guess he's ripping. It's Shots second fired. Most popular because it's the second most popular Jewish holiday. Maybe. I don't know.
No, I don't know. What's another festival of lights?
He said, occasionally I get canned up and remember. This is quite the ad read.
Yeah, I know. We have to charge him $40 for this ad.
Occasionally I get canned up and remember, I can annoy Lost in America listeners and try to come up with something mildly clever at two best at mixed results. Mainly, I just get uncomfortable about people saying, have a happy Memorial Day. Anyway, that's it from the great
I apologize to all the vets. So I said happy Memorial Day to you. Yesterday.
And now a word from your local sponsor. All right, we're back.
Can I say one thing about earlier? Because it's just in my head.
Yes.
I'm still thinking about that story you told me about the guy who drove his friend to the airport. Because what kind of friend takes a ride to the airport when there's a petrol crisis? Like, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's one thing to give your friend a ride if it's a LaGuardia in Norton, America right now. But like, you have to be a really good friend or you better have hooked him up if he gives you that ride when gas is that big of a deal. That's all I'm saying. So.
Sri Lankans are very giving people, man. Yeah, like the hospitality in the country. Like, I mean, that's why our tourism is always being there, you know? So to give you an idea, like, you know, in Sri Lanka, like, you know, if you come to somebody's house and if we only have 2 teaspoons of sugar, we will give you that 2 teaspoons of sugar with your tea. So that's basically like, you
very
know,
neighborly.
Yeah. We will give you whatever we have. That's the kind of.
So if Turner and I come to your country, you guys will hook us up with your sugar. We could do a live pod in the cricket stadium.
Yeah.
Melinda, can I give you a story about what happens here? I went to Kaplan's house one time and he said, hey, do you want some coffee? And I said, yeah, sure. And he goes, okay, there's a store down the street.
I thought you were going to say, you wanted sugar? And I said, I don't even carry sugar because
I thought
I don't
he was
going
to make me coffee. My wife and I, he made us leave. We had to go down the elevator.
I don't believe
30
store story,
floors but... down the elevator and walk down the street to a store to go.
I gave you directions though. I gave you good directions.
Yeah, you gave.
You see, he offered coffee. He said, do you want it? Why offer if you don't That's... have any? And he said,
exactly.
Yeah, go buy
just...
it.
So he gave me the sugar.
I just also, Malad, I got to tell you, great t-shirt. I just noticed you're wearing a Twin Towers t-shirt.
I noticed that when you said that 9/11 comment.
Yeah, it's actually a Michael Che comment. It's a Michael Che.
It's a Michael Che t-shirt?
It's one of his comments he made in his special.
Oh, really?
Do you want to see it?
Yeah, sure. Let's see what the shirt. People need to be watching us on YouTube anyway, so subscribe to our YouTube to see the shirt.
Oh, we can't. Yeah.
What Wait, say something, says, Melinda, so the
it
camera.
Says, oh, it's, it says all buildings matter.
Oh, all buildings matter.
I like it.
I think I was speaker mode there.
Okay, so back to the story here. So that they are. So now Sri Lanka has no money. It seems like their first move was to go to the IMF, the International Monetary Fund. And what do they say to them? Just give us money to get rid of this $51 billion in debt? Or how does it... I don't know anything about the International Monetary Fund.
If I'm being completely honest, I don't know exactly what's the deal. Because now we have a new prime minister, you know, like... So the government changed.
He got his brother. Wait. He took his brother out of office, right? The president's brother was the prime minister.
Well... I remember Kaplan was mentioning like the protests and everything going on, you know. So basically what the protesters were saying is like, we don't need the Rajapaksas in office anymore. Like, go home, get out of here. So for almost a month, the protests were going, everything was peaceful, like, you know. And then on the day that he, like the Mahinda Rajapaksa as the prime minister was supposed to give a statement, there were a bunch of supporters from his side who came into Colombo, and then they started attacking the peaceful protesters.
So it wasn't even police. It was actual people who were just like supporters of the.
Yeah. The police actually didn't do anything, you know, like they could have stopped it.
Because I've seen since then the police started tear. We forgot to mention the opening, but I saw the police were tear gassing people recently.
Yeah.
Protesters. Yeah.
Yeah. And that was also a big thing because now, I told you, like, Sri Lankans have gone through a lot. Like, even I've been tear gassed at some point.
Oh. So have English Liverpool soccer fans. I got tear gassed over the weekend, but I've never had the pleasure.
So now the thing is, like, the old canisters, the old tear gas canisters, you can throw it back to the police, you know? So you can just take them and throw them back.
Oh, little tip.
A lot of Sri Lankan diaspora outside, like, you know, they were sending actually dollars back, like, you know, like everybody's like, okay, right, we have a dollar crisis. Let me send $200-$300 through, like, because we have different channels where we can send money because we can get a good rate and our parents and our families can have a little bit more money, you know. But now, like, people really started sending money through the correct channels, directly through banks, so the government gets some of it. And what happened was these cunts brought more like advanced tear gas canisters.
Oh, ones that you can't send back.
Yeah, so it blasted into three pieces. So people were asking, like, you don't have money for medicine,
but you have money for this tear gas.
New tear gas canisters.
State-of-the-art tear gas canisters were purchased recently. Yeah, that's a good point. That's terrible.
And then all of a sudden, like, the armored tanks and stuff roaming around Colombo, like, where's the fuel coming for that?
Yeah, where's this money coming from?
Exactly, so, you know, like, so.
But they gave them a concession and he had his brother step down, though. Is that?
Yeah. So he stepped down, and now, so if you look at the history of the prime minister position, it has been the same two names coming back and forth.
They go back and forth.
Yeah.
Same two families.
So the IMF, I think they're asking for money for the IMF. Cap, do you know what they're doing with that?
If I'm not mistaken, they're asking for money and like a payment plan, like a reasonable payment plan to
restructure the debt.
Exactly. That's like, if I got it, like, because, you know, like, it's also still all new information coming in because it's a new prime minister now going to the IMF.
Yeah.
So I don't know if IMF is going to directly give us the money or make a payment plan for the people that we owe. Like, you know, so it might be that we might not be getting, again, this is just how
it might be, just straight to the debtors. Yeah.
They won't want to do a thing where they don't set an example, I guess. The rich countries like China are always concerned that they don't want to set an example where they don't want to just forgive debt, even if it's like even a little bit.
Well, that's a whole different part of it. So one option is to go to the IMF and to get some kind of a payment loan or just get them to pay it off. And they were in the middle of that. And then I read that China that owns about 10%. Not only China owns 10% of the debt, China also, this is crazy. So as we were talking about earlier, they built the Rajapaksa family, built the cricket stadium. They also built a port in their town. And then with China's money. And then when they realized in, I think, 2019 or so, or 17 or 18, they couldn't pay off the debt to the port. They basically sold the port to China. So now China runs and owns that port in the kind of the middle of nowhere, west eastern Sri Lanka. And no one knows, they haven't done anything with it yet, but people are thinking like maybe it's a future military base for China or something. But it is like a strategic, I guess the idea for China is to have a strategic home in that part of the world. So, and this is something that this is part of their Belt and Road Initiative, which is this idea that China has loaned money to 170 different countries, mostly in Africa and Southeast Asia, with the idea that they repay the loan. And if they don't repay the loan, well, then China has a little power in that country. And I don't think this is new. America's done this. Have we've done this, right, Kaplan?
I mean, we loan money all around the world. Yeah. That's how you have influence. That's how you, you know, try to keep.
Once you become a country with power and money, you start loaning it out. It's better. Once you
get big time, you'll be loaning money to lesser comedians all the time. You'll be doing
to take over their careers.
Yeah. I owe you now.
Yeah. You owe me now. That's it. So now China, I say this to say that China has stepped in with the IMF. With Sri Lanka dealing with the IMF, China has stepped in and said, hey, we'll help you get out of this, this debt. But the issue is, well, that now Sri Lanka owes more and more to China, right?
Yeah. So that this is a very dangerous game, you know, like
yes.
The problem is China has always been involved in Sri Lankan projects for a while now, you know, as you mentioned, that's exactly China's game. Like so for example, our motorways. These motorways were built by Chinese and they own it for 99 years.
Up the highway.
Oh, China owns the motorway for 99 years?
Yeah.
That's the same with the port. They bought it for 99 years.
Everything is 99 years, you know. So
they build it and then they kind of own it.
So
things are always 99 years. I don't know why. Like 100 is too.
There might be
Hong
a
Kong
reason.
Was 99 years. You know, you just stick with it.
Now, the thing about it is like, so we are not getting any revenue from this. Kaplan is stuck.
Kaplan's stuck. He'll jump back in, I'm sure.
All right.
In a minute. Yeah.
He gets shocked. Yeah. So now that's the big thing. Like, you know, a lot of land in Sri Lanka are now kind of, when I say a lot, don't think like half of Sri Lanka or anything like that.
Yeah.
But a lot of important strategic places are actually now owned by the Chinese because they are the ones who are pumping money into it. And so obviously they have the right to keep it, you know.
Sure.
They pumped money into it and now everybody's like, okay. Because you know, like I never saw this growing up, but when I go back home, like, I mean, I haven't been home in 3 years now, but like you I never saw Chinese signboards in Colombo. You know, some shops are literally having Chinese signboards. I was like, this is new.
You mean written in Chinese language?
Yeah. Like, I'm like, oh my God, I've never seen this ever before. I mean, that's if Sri Lanka is getting more business, it's always good for anything. But now the problem is like when another country owns one of your ports.
Yeah, that's a little dangerous.
And they own all your roads. and so
all of a sudden you're from China now.
Exactly. Like, you know, like I actually had a joke about it. Like, you know, for now I'm Sri Lankan. 5 years later, I might say I'm Chinese. So,
yeah.
You know?
And are there a lot of Chinese people that live in Sri Lanka? Like, is that why they have the signage there or no?
No, the thing is all these projects. So that was another agreement. That was another agreement that the Chinese government or whoever is pumping money into these projects have. They bring their own workers. So when a project is getting built backed by Chinese money, it's not the Sri Lankans who get the jobs.
Yeah.
You can't say Sri Lankans don't have engineers. We have workers. We have a lot of people who doesn't have jobs who would willingly go and work there. But no, it's the Chinese people who come into work. So they come and settle in. And that's so it does, like, again, like, you know, it does not create opportunities for the locals.
It's employing Chinese people. You know what? This is so interesting. I used to live in China. I lived there for 12 years. And I remember one time I was at an airport and there was a flight coming in, and it was a flight from like somewhere in Africa, one of the African countries, a small African country, maybe Namibia or something. I'm not sure. And coming off the plane, I assumed to see a bunch of African people. And I saw like 300 Chinese construction workers.
Yeah.
And they were dressed like construction workers coming off the plane. And it was like, oh, because they all had been living there, building the roads and all the infrastructure and all that kind of stuff. So I see what you're saying. So it doesn't, it is good for the country that you're getting these roads, but it's not really putting money back into the local economy in that way.
That's the problem. Like, so if I build a road today, and if this money is not going, so you have to pay your tolls when you go on the motor.
Yeah.
But the toll is not coming to the Sri Lankan government. It goes to the Chinese government.
Wow. The tolls of the toll road go to the Chinese government because they own the road. Because,
yeah. So that's what I'm saying. So for example, like if you own the port, like, so you own the port for 99 years, all the revenue goes to you, not to the country.
And you, Sri Lanka seems pretty strategically located for a port.
It's
at the bottom of India. It's like you have to, most shipping would have to go by.
Why do you think three countries colonized us?
Yes.
Sri Lanka is one of the most strategic locations for shipping industry. It's located right in the middle of the Silky Way. The Silky Road.
Who colonized you?
The Portuguese. Yeah, that's why I have a Pereira surname.
Okay.
Portuguese, and the Dutch, and the English.
Wow.
English came the last. So Sri Lanka has been in interest to everyone because like all our ports are perfect. Like I read an article, I can't remember the exact numbers. So if you, like, when you're coming towards this way, there's the nearest port in India to Sri Lanka. If you deviate the ship to that port, your shipping company is losing so much money.
Wow. Okay.
Just like, and the
Sri
distance
Sri Lanka between... should be Singapore.
Exactly. That's
just
what I'm
like
saying.
Just like how Singapore, basically they use the port to make the entire country wealthy, and it worked. Yeah. And they did it pretty quick. Only 30, 40 years, something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, exactly.
Sri Lanka should be able to do the same if it wasn't for these Rajapaksa families.
Like that's the thing. Like, you know, for 30 years we were blaming the war. It has always been like the wound of the beggar, you know. It was never getting, and then once we got rid of it, of course we can't get over like a 30 years of war in 5 years. Yeah. Anybody understands that. But now it's been over 12 years. Definitely you could have built a lot of things in 12 years. You get me? Especially when you were the only one who was in power and nobody was there to oppose you. So if you would have really, really cared about, like, you know, building up the economy of the country, because after a war, that should be your first thing. And now the other problem Sri Lankan students are facing, they can't go to universities outside of Sri Lanka because all applications have been deferred, because now the universities are scared that they won't be able to pay their tuition.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's... Even if their family has the money and everything, everyone's just saying... Basically, they're not taking debt from anyone.
Yeah.
They're not taking loans, promises, whatever. No. Checks.
That's a problem. Like, you know, so like a lot of... Like, there's a bunch of Sri Lanka... Because even the education... We have free education until university. So all our universities are like very, very tight to get in. That's why I had to go abroad and study, you know, like it's not easy to get into a Sri Lankan government run university.
Yeah.
It's all free education, but getting in is a hard problem. Like, you know, it's like, I don't know, like not even 10% make it to local universities, because we only have like 9 universities in the country, like the government one.
How many people are in the country?
22 million.
On a small, pretty small land space. That's like almost the size of Australia. Australia's like 30.
25, I think.
25? Yeah.
And Australia is massive.
Yeah, it's way bigger. Holy cow. Well, I want to talk at the very end here, because I know we're almost running out of time, but comedy wise, is it, I know there's a big comedy scene in India.
Yeah.
If you're a Sri Lankan and you're doing comedy, is it like a natural career move to move to India to do comedy? No. Or are they not related at all?
It's not related at all, because so if you're doing it in English, as we comedians say all the time, like, you know, funny is funny anyway.
Yeah.
Like, you know, but now the thing is, India is, so to be honest, I haven't done comedy in the subcontinent, you know? But the stories that I hear, like, India has a lot of gatekeeping when you come to the comedy scene, like a small, even in small clubs, there's a lot of gatekeeping going on. This is what I keep hearing. Like, there are some Indian comics coming in, like, you know, so I get to talk to them and all that things. And in Sri Lanka specifically, there hasn't been like proper stand-up comedy until very recent. So like, when I started doing comedy, there was not really a lot of comedy going on. There was a few. I started 6 years ago.
Okay. So even 6 years ago, there wasn't much. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So, and then, like, you know, I heard about a show where one person writes jokes for the whole lineup. And I'm like, what? That's not how comedy should be, you know?
Yeah, like, that's not how it works.
Like, why would you write a whole jokes for the whole lineup? And then, but recently I found out there is a comedy club going on. I'm very excited. I'm actually playing there in December. So I'm going home. I'm going home after 3 years.
Hey, all right.
Let's hope home is still there.
Yes.
Yeah.
See what the price of gas is then.
Yeah. So I'm really excited to go back home and, like, you know, do some of the things, because I haven't done comedy for Sri Lanka. So
cool. And I saw you going on a big tour. Are you in the middle of a tour?
No, the tour starts in September.
Going all over Europe?
All over Europe, yeah.
That's awesome. What countries?
So I start from Iceland, and then it's around 23 countries. So,
whoa.
So.
Holy cow.
That's a real tour.
Yeah, 50 cities, like 40.
You got to print shirts for that.
I was thinking, man, I'm going to have, like, you know, one of those.
Do it. Like Metallica tour shirt.
Yeah, man. the tour. So if anybody the show is called Not a Drug Dealer.
Not a Drug Dealer. Well, we have, that's a great name for sure. We have listeners all over the world. So they can go at Instagram at Melinda.Pereira, P-E-R-E-R-A, Facebook, Melinda Pereira Comedy. Are those the best places to find you, to find out about the tour?
Yes.
Awesome. Yes. Thanks so much for doing it, man.
No worries. Really happy to be here and share a little bit about the little old Sri Lanka, you know.
So they got two. So it's right now the options are IMF and China. We'll see. Hopefully more come up. Hopefully they can make their way out of it.
Can I just put on a message?
Yes.
If anybody is willing, like if anybody's thinking of going to Sri Lanka, I know right now it's not the right time. You might have to face. I mean, the only problem would be right now there is no fuel. So, like, you know, traveling around the country is going to be a little bit hard. But soon after all these things are sorted out, that's a place you should definitely check out.
Beautiful beach. Beaches everywhere. 4 hours from every spot.
Yeah.
Well, and here's the thing. In America, you don't want to be one of those families that goes to Hawaii every year.
Ugh,
you know, they're the worst.
Or Mexico.
Mexico's a slightly better because at least it's another country. Hawaii is just like an overpriced. People who are afraid to leave America go to Hawaii. Mm. But nobody goes to Sri Lanka, you know, man, even Thailand's played out at this point.
You got to make it a trendy honeymoon destination. That's
Jamaica.
Is it trendy? I haven't got married in a while. So, okay, that's always
it
the
is
key.
A trendy,
come trendy. So, yeah.
That's it. So we'll go to Sri Lanka's. Coming. It'll be the new Blue Lagoon, the new Iceland. Yeah. Americans were all going to Iceland for a while.
Iceland's over. That's so last decade.
It's one of the oldest civilizations. Like, you know, it's over 2,500 years of history.
Elephants who play cricket.
Two airports.
Yeah.
Two airports.
Yeah.
Which is important in case there's a problem with one airport, as I learned.
And this is ironic. Sri Lanka is the only country that offers, like, safari outside of Africa.
Really? That's a good, that's your blowhard point of the day, guys. Take that with
you. Oh, because you have tigers and stuff.
We have tigers, we have our own big five. We have the blue whales.
Whoa. Blue whales. Shout out, so big ones.
Blue whales, sperm whales, the elephant, the tiger, and if I'm not mistaken, the sloth bear, but the sloth bear is the most.
How did a bear and a tiger know? How'd they get there?
So you know, same as the people came in there.
They probably right. used to be connected, right?
Yeah, it wasn't like really, really connected. But there was like a. So, have you ever heard of this? We can get into history, man. But like, there was a stone bridge kind of thing. It, like when the tides are low, it used to be like a bridge like to a India,
yeah.
But it hasn't been up like you
the
know,
tigers wait for low tide. They know what they're doing and they cross.
Yeah. No, they actually swim as well. It's like elephants used to actually swim. You know, so the distance between Sri Lanka and India is 32 kilometers. So during low tides,
well, that's not far at all. That's like 20 miles.
Can I swim that? Could you swim 20 miles?
Yeah, you could swim 20 miles. Please.
But now the funny thing is all the species that we have in Sri Lanka has evolved into subspecies. So you can't find them anywhere else.
So that's a unique safari.
Exactly.
That's how you sell it.
Exactly.
You can't, Africa's safari, you can find a dime a dozen. Come on.
Please.
It's over. Yeah.
Sri
Lanka safari is the way
Africa?
To go. Yeah. You need to get those big game hunters there, though. That's how you get
fuck no.
I'll get the
train track, the worst tourists,
man.
I know, but I mean, your money.
That's the slogan of Sri Lanka. Sri Lanka, because who needs Africa?
Fuck that.
That's it, Melinda Pereira. Thanks so much for doing the podcast.
Turner, Kathleen, it was a pleasure, man.
Yeah, sorry. I had some Wi-Fi issues, so I dropped off for a bit, but I can't wait to listen and hear what I missed.
No worries. That's it, Cap. What should we do?
My Wi-Fi and you and all, we can all get lost.
Get lost, everybody.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.